Well, I'd like you to take your Bible this morning and turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, we are going to put a pause on our study of Hebrews this morning to address a very important issue that is currently facing the church and many Christians, as really the rest of the world. But my main interest this morning is directed to Christians. I made mention a few weeks ago that I wanted to do this, and here we are, I believe, at the right time to do it. Let me just get straight to the issue and really put it in the form of a question. Here it is. Should Christians support Black Lives Matter? That's the question I want us to really look at this morning. Should Christians support the organization, the movement, Black Lives Matter? I think by now everyone has heard of them. They are behind the worldwide protests. We have seen or heard about them over the last few months, even here in Australia. In fact, unless they've somehow canceled it, the last I heard, they were going to have another protest again this Tuesday here in Sydney. So the question really isn't just for Christians, it's really for all. Should anyone support Black Lives Matter? Yesterday was opening day in baseball, Major League Baseball in America. And in every game that opened up, every player had a Black Lives Matter logo stitched on their uniform, Black Lives Matter signs posted all around the stadiums, Black Lives Matter is painted on the ground, players kneeling for the Black Lives Matter during the national anthem. Everyone has gone Black Lives Matter mad at the moment. And of course, they, along with Antifa and other groups, are behind the cancel culture movement, behind all the political correctness. And as some of you know, you potentially can get fired from your job for speaking out against them and even pressured from your employer to speak in support of them. So in light of all that, we really need to take a look at this and really ask the question, why are so many so-called Christians supporting Black Lives Matter? And by the way, of course, I'm not asking whether Christians should be in support of justice. Of course we should be in support of justice. We of all people should be on the forefront of protecting the weak and the vulnerable of society. And when injustices happen, and they will happen, we live in a fallen world, we should be giving a voice that is God's voice to justice and righteousness, evil and unrighteousness. But that's not what I'm asking here, and I trust that you know that. I'm not talking about a slogan. Do Black Lives Matter? Of course they do. They're made in the image of God like everyone else. Or, and Henry put it quite well a few weeks ago in our prayer meeting, he says, do Black Lives Matter? Of course they do. But more importantly for us as Christians, all souls matter. All souls matter, each and every one, regardless of color. So I hope I'm clear on this. My chief concern is for so-called Christians, and you notice the language I'm going to keep using, so-called Christians, because it's kind of unbelievable once you get into this that they actually do so. But my chief concern is for so-called Christians who are publicly supporting Black Lives Matter, the movement, Black Lives Matter, the organization. And they're supporting them by either actually marching alongside of them in the streets, some have done, or if not that, they're supporting them by getting on some kind of social media and virtue signaling to them, or expressing their newfound wokeness to new terms. If you haven't heard those, I'm sure you have, that has been promulgated over the last number of months, virtue signaling and expressing newfound wokeness. Whatever the support, small or great, all of it is with the intention of voicing their solidarity with Black Lives Matter in their fight to root out quote-unquote systemic racism. Unbelievably, for some so-called Christians, and not all of them, just a minor of them, that even means they are okay with all the violence, the rioting, and the looting. Some of them say that it is, if that's what it takes to be heard, then let the statues come down and the cities be burned. That's coming from Christians, so-called Christians. Really? Violence and lawlessness are necessary? Should a Christian be saying that? Should Christians be supporting something like that? I mean, I get people like Brian Houston and Joel Osteen coming out in support of the Black Lives Matter. I get that. We're not surprised by that. Osteen himself was seen marching with Black Lives Matter on the very first day, I believe. That's no surprise. I'm not even surprised a couple of years ago that at the annual Urbana Conference in the States, hosted by InterVarsity Ministries, I think it was 2016, they invited a Black Lives member, young black gal, to come up and speak to thousands of young people. Maybe I'm a little surprised, but again, not really. In fact, I get that most of the mainstream wishy-washy kind of evangelicalism you see on television would cave into social issues without any kind of discernment. But for the members of the Social Gospel Coalition, as I call it, the Gospel Coalition, members of Together for the Gospel, people like Matt Chandler, David Platt, Paul Tripp, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention came out a few weeks ago and said that Black Lives Matter is a gospel issue, quote unquote. Really? Now, to be fair, some of them make a mild attempt to distinguish between the slogan and the organization, but can I say it's really weak? None of them highlight the real concerns everyone should have with Black Lives Matter. And that's not just Christians. In fact, just this week I read an article from a think tank in the Middle East and evaluating Black Lives Matter and seeing them as a threat to Israel. And the author concludes by saying this, quote, "Black Lives Matter is a revolutionary Marxist, extreme left, anti-white, anti-capitalist, and anti-Semitic organization, and it is also unapologetically racist," end quote. It's from a Jewish source. Now, you would never know that any of that from what you see and hear on TV, on the social media, would you? So what's going on? Why are so many, again, so-called Christians, even evangelical, reformed, conservative Christians, supporting Black Lives Matter? That needs an explanation. And while we can never fully discern motivations, the Word of God does give us some help with the answer. So we need to think about this biblically. And a good place to start is right here in Proverbs 23. And just the first two words you see there in verse 23. Verse 23 of Proverbs 23, just the first two words. What does it say there? Buy truth. You see that? Buy truth. Solomon here tells us to buy truth. Now, when he says to buy truth, there is a sense that he had a whole range of truth before his mind. Truth in history, truth in philosophy, truth in science, truth in economics. But of course, the chief truth he is referring to here is what? Spiritual truth. God's truth. Biblical truth. He says, buy that. And why is that? Well, he understands that biblical truth is, one, theological. Biblical truth tells us about God. Secondly, biblical truth is Christological. It tells us about a Savior and how we can be saved. Biblical truth is ontological. It tells us the way things really are. It's moral. It tells us right from wrong. And you could say it's immutable. Truth never what? Changes. To buy the truth. And then you see there in verse 24, there are great consequences of buying the truth. You notice parents rejoice and are glad, and the child becomes righteous and wise. And then you back up to verse 22, the command to buy, you could say, comes from both parents, almost in an emotional pleading behind the command, something like, please buy the truth. I mean, the word itself, buy, is a commercial word. It comes right out of the world of business and commerce. You would normally use the word when you buy things like merchandise, property, food, etc. And so it's interesting that Solomon chooses this word because he recognizes that the world doesn't just sell goods and services. The world sells ideas as well. We all know that. The world is full of markets selling ideas out there. Shops and shops philosophies, ideologies, religion, everything and anything, all of them are lies, of course, with the label truth on them. But here he tells us to buy truth. That's what we're to buy. We're to buy the truth. Truth is the first word in the verse, which makes it emphatic. And so the force is buy only the truth. And that also implies that there's only one truth. It's God's truth, biblical truth. Everything else is lies. By the way, that Solomon says to buy it does imply that it is not free, but more so that it is not innate. That is to say that truth is not inside of you, truth is outside of you. In other words, you're going to have to go and search it. And once you find it, buy it. That's the point here. You'll remember Jesus in Matthew 13 gives two parables that closely parallels these ideas here. In Matthew 13, 44 to 46, he gives the parable of the treasure in the field and the parable of the pearl of great price. You remember those? Let me just read those for you. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Remember that? And then he says, again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and he bought it." This is behind Solomon's words here. When you find truth, you sell everything just in order to buy that and buy only that. Whatever the expense, whatever the effort, whatever the hardship, buy truth. Why? Because you know the value of it. You know the preciousness of it. You know the conviction of it. By the way, you do remember in Pilgrim's Progress, you remember in the part where Faithful and Christian enter a town known as Vanity Fair. Remember that? Vanity Fair is a place of really full of seductions, allurements, and temptations. You remember how the people of the town came out to greet them, and they observed that the two of them, Faithful and Christian, they dressed funny, they talked funny. And then when the merchants went up to them and asked them, "What will you buy?" Remember their answer? What was the answer? "We buy the truth." Right from Proverbs 23:23. "We buy the truth." The point is crystal clear. This is how all Christians are to walk throughout the world. This is what we say when we're asked, "Will you buy this and will you buy that?" We say, "We buy the truth." With all the lies that surround us, all the idols that are being sold, we buy only the truth. And then we keep on buying the truth. That's the point here. We are all about the truth. Another lesson you could say that Bunyan pulls out of this is that Christian faithful, and this is important, are not to be controlled by their senses or feelings. They're not to be controlled by their pockets. They're not to be controlled by the tide of public opinion. We don't go with the flow. We don't go with the mob. Whatever the pressures. No, we're to be controlled by truth. Our thoughts, our speech, our actions are all to be controlled by biblical truth. Does that make sense? Now, all of that said, let's take that back now to Black Lives Matter. Because they've come along and have asked us, what will we buy from them? They are, after all, selling a range of ideas. They are out to sell you their so-called truth. And the question then comes, can we buy from them? Can we buy from Black Lives Matter? As a Christian who bows to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, is there anything they are selling that I can buy? Well, what exactly are they selling? Let's get specific here. And here's the first thing they want us to buy. And by the way, everything I'm about to say is their very own words. Right from their website, you can look it up yourself. I'm just going to group their ideas into several categories to help us understand them. But here's number one. Here's at least one thing that Black Lives Matter is trying to sell us, and that's their view on human sexuality. From their website, they say, "We are transgender affirming. We make space for transgender siblings. We do the work required to dismantle cisgender." And cisgender, you remember, just means biological. And we uplift transgender black folk, especially transgender black women, who continue to be disproportionately impacted by trans antagonistic violence, end quote. In other words, we, they say, purposely and intentionally, to put it simply, oppose the truth. All of that can be summarized in that. We intentionally oppose the truth. What truth is that? Genesis 1:27. The truth that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. That's what we call a chiasm in Hebrew. Notice there's repetition. Three times created. He created, he created, he created. They oppose all of that. They're against that. They say they are doing the work of dismantling, whatever that means, of God's created design of two biological sexes, male and female. And so the question comes, can I buy that? Can I be transgender affirming? Deuteronomy 22:5 says that the transgender behavior is an abomination to God. Furthermore, they say we foster a queer affirming network. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking. In other words, they gather to put an end to the notion that everybody needs to be heterosexual. Well, the Bible says that God created men and women as heterosexuals, and they want to free themselves from that. In fact, you read their words, and you, not just the language, but you can actually kind of feel the language behind it. It's why I read Psalm 2 for you, because you can hear in their words the anger that they have in their heart towards God. Freeing ourselves from the tight grip. What tight grip of what? Well, the tight grip of God. Remember Psalm 2 I read for you earlier. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devise a vain thing? They take their stand and they take their counsel together. Why? Because they are against the Lord and his anointed. And what do they want to do? Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. We no longer want to be under the rule of God. We want to do our own thing. That's what's behind all this. Let me just remind you that homosexuality is a sin. It opposes God's design for human sexuality. Again, it's an abomination. God says that in Leviticus 8:22, you shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination. And you say, oh, that's Old Testament. Well, just go read Romans 1:27 and 1 Corinthians 6:9. It's in the New Testament as well. They also declare that, quote, we are womanists rather than feminists. We build a space that affirms black women and is free from sexism, misogyny, and environments where men are man-centered. We are intentionally, they say, amplifying that the particular experience of violence that black, queer, transgender, gender non-conforming women and intersex people face, there can be no liberation for the black people if we do not fight for these people. End quote. Oh, yeah, they have an agenda. Now, does any of that sound like the truth? As a Christian, can I buy any of that and still be called a Christian? Listen carefully. You are either a Christian or you are a supporter of Black Lives Matter. But, listen carefully, you cannot be both. You got that? Let me say that again. You are either a Christian or a supporter of Black Lives Matter, but you cannot be both. But there's more. What else are they selling? Well, they want us to buy their view on the family, secondly. This is also on their website. Listen to this. We disrupt Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. I can't buy that. I mean, to buy that is to reject biblical truth in the family. Scripture teaches that God's plan for the home is a man and a woman united in a covenant of marriage, isn't it? I mean, you understand that the building blocks of society is the family. There's a mother, there's a father, and with them, Lord willing, there's children in the confines of a loving and disciplined home. Black Lives Lives Matter opposes all of that. In fact, they say our goal is to disrupt that. That's their words. And listen, to oppose God's design for the family, His nuclear family structure, as they call it, to oppose that is really to oppose God, and it's to oppose God's best for everyone. In fact, you could say we are experiencing that right now. We are witnessing what happens when the family falls apart. I mean, whenever you have broken homes or fatherless homes, regardless of color, the children of those homes are at greater risk of getting themselves into drugs and crimes. Some of you know that. Some of you know that firsthand. So, you know, I say to Black Lives Matter, fatherless homes in the black community are presently existing. How's that working for you? You really want to get rid of the family structure designed by God and exchange it for so-called villages? Sorry, I can't buy that. That's not the truth. Let me give you another view they want us to buy. They're trying to sell their view on government and authority. They say, quote, "We are abolitionists. We believe that prisons, police, and all other institutions that inflict violence on black people must be abolished and replaced by institutions that value and affirm the flourishing of black lives." As you know, you see this almost on a daily basis now, Black Lives Matter have been quite open in their desire to, quote unquote, defund the police. You've seen the hashtags, right? Defund the police. It's been their motto, and I can't buy that. The Bible is clear that the police and all levels of authority in society are designed and ordained by God. Just go read Romans 13. It's clear. Paul there talks about government and how it is the social authority of society. Now, you understand that there's restraints that God has put into society. I mean, we're all depraved and we're not all as bad as we could be. And there's some restraints to that. There's conscience. Once you sear the conscience, as these folks are doing, anything goes. The second restraint, of course, is the family. The family is a restraint. A mother and a father with discipline in a home, with instruction in a home. The family's gone. That restraint's gone. Then you have the government. The government is a restraint. The police are there to restrain you. And if you defund that, then the only thing left is what? The church. Church is supposed to be salt. Church is supposed to be light. Where's the church? Now you understand the world we're living in at the moment, and everything is in a mess. Everyone is doing the right in their own eyes because there's hardly any restraints out there. But you come back to government. Again, Romans 13 is clear. It is the social authority of society. And contrary to what many think, the primary role of government is not material welfare. You got that? God did not set up government to make sure everyone gets an even share. Government was established along with the police so that the lawful are protected and the lawless are punished. You understand that, right? The police are there so that those who are lawful are protected and that the lawless are punished. Protection and punishment is their job. In fact, Paul describes the police there in Romans 13, and you could say even along with soldiers. I love this. They are ministers of God to you for good. That's Paul's words. There's only two jobs in the New Testament that are described as ministers. Those are pastors and they are policemen. Sure. There are bad policemen, just as there are bad pastors. But this does not call for a wholesale removal of them. Calling for the removal of prisons and the defunding of police is simply a resistance to authority, which is, in the end, rebellion against God. And I can't buy that. That's not the truth. But there's more. Number four, Black Lives Matter wants us to buy their view on the sanctity of life. Again, from their website, these are their words, quote, "We deserve and thus we demand reproductive justice that gives us autonomy over our bodies and our identities while ensuring that our children and families are supported, safe, and able to thrive," end quote. In other words, if that wasn't clear, they're what? They're pro-abortion. they're pro-abortions. This is easy. I can't buy that. To be pro-abortion and to support a party that is pro-abortion is to be part of a cult of death, offering up babies to the god Molech. We all know that. All unborn babies are unquestionably living human beings created in the image of God. There's no debate on this. Abortion is murder. Abortion constitutes the sin of murder, and I can't buy that. That's not the truth. By the way, tragically, of the millions of babies aborted each year in America, I think on an average about a million a year, I think I saw the statistics, no surprise that the major percentage of them come from single black women. Apparently, black babies don't matter to Black Lives Matter. Just saying. Well, hopefully by now you're getting the idea that this whole movement called Black Lives Matter is built on what? Lies. Deception. All of it. In fact, what launched them onto the planet and has created sympathy from people all over the world has been their story, so to speak. Their narrative, or better, their lie. They have been the objects of, and this is the lie, that they have been the objects of so-called systemic racism. You've all heard that thrown around. There's systemic racism. Even here in Australia, you hear that. There's systemic racism when it comes to the Aborigines. That's what they've been selling. So number five in their shop of ideas, can I buy that? Can I buy their view on racism and police brutality? Can I buy their story that blacks everywhere, even here in Australia, are consistently picked on, especially by the police? And no doubt, sure, we all know that there are pockets of people in the past, even in the present, who manifest prejudices toward black people, even violence toward them. No one's denying that. No one would deny that racism exists across all people of color, but to say, as they're saying, that there is worldwide systemic racism going on at the moment really goes against every statistic out there, both in the U.S. and even here in Australia. Simply, systemic racism is a lie. It's not the truth, and I can't buy it. By the way, if you want all the statistics, I can give them to you. We don't have time to go through them all now. But here's just a few things to chew on. Especially when it comes to the U.S., and I have the statistics for the Australian Aborigines as well. But in the U.S., studies have shown that now listen to this. Black police officers are 3.3 times more likely to fire a gun than other cops at a crime scene. Further, blacks are more likely to kill cops than be killed by cops. 40% of cop killers are black. A police officer is 18 and a half times more likely to be killed by a black than a cop killing an unarmed black person. U.S. police are 1.73 times. Again, we want to get specific here. We want the truth. 1.73 times more likely to use lethal force against whites under arrest than blacks. And 2.41 times more likely to use lethal force against whites under arrest for violent offenses. Each year, about 7,000 blacks are murdered in the U.S., but 94% are killed by another black person, black on black. Obviously, black lives don't matter to Black Lives Matter. Even though blacks make up only 13% of the U.S. population, they account for more than 50% of U.S. murder victims and murderers. About twice as many whites are killed by blacks than vice versa. A black is 12.8 times more likely to kill a white man than a white to kill a black man. I'll stop there. And as I said, statistics in Australia are very similar. All of it destroys the lie that's been thrown out there of systemic racism. Listen, this charge of systemic racism is not, are you listening? It's not driven by facts. They're not interested in facts. They're interested in feelings. And as one well-known cultural commentator put it, facts do not care about your feelings. So Black Lives Matter. They want me to buy their truth on racism and police brutality, but I can't buy that. That's not the truth. It's a lie. And in fact, just as a quick footnote here, I did think You know what a good way to rid racism, a good place to start in getting rid of racism, and I've not heard this, get rid of evolution. Get rid of evolution. Who started this whole thing? You understand that racism, just the term itself, is a social construct, right? You all understand that there aren't different races. We all are one race. We all are the human race. We all come from Adam. And we all have the same skin color. It's just different shades of it. Some have more melanin than others. So this whole thing is based on a lie. And again, if you want to begin getting rid of racism, get rid of evolution that really launched the racism going on. Darwin himself, you know, he wrote On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle of Life. That was his full title. We all know it by The Origins of Species. But if you read the rest of the title, he was advocating that there are different races and some are better than others. You know, when they came here to Australia, and we've got an ugly, if we'll just keep the term racist for a moment, we have an ugly history of racism here in Australia. But it's built on the lie of evolution. They come down and they saw the Aborigines and they thought, well, there's the missing link. And they used to hunt them. They used to skin them. They used to take off their heads and post them back to England to study them. But that was all based on the lie of evolution, natural selection. I wasn't sure if the city of Darwin in Northern Territory was named after Charles Darwin, and it is. And I just said to somebody right before the service, I'm going to put up a petition with everybody wanting to get rid of statues and burn down statues and change names. I think we need to change the name of Darwin. I'm offended. The fact that that city is named Darwin. Now, of course, probably won't do that, but you get my point. Why aren't we burning down his statues all over the place? He, in a real sense, is the father of racism. But no, they won't touch him, will they? So anyway, all of that to say is I can't buy their lie of systemic racism. Let me just give you one more thought here, one more item they're trying to sell us. And that's their view of redemption. Their so-called truth of salvation. Every ideology, and Black Lives Matter, when you start looking at it closely, you'll observe that it's much more than a movement, much more than an ideology. In many respects, they are a religion. They have their own gospel and they have their own view of deliverance and salvation. You say, well, what is it? What are they trying to sell by way of their gospel? Let me just give you a few bullet points to highlight this. And I am going to try to make this simple as possible because it's rather complicated. A lot of gobbledygook, so to speak. But its foundation, and you probably heard these two terms thrown out lately as well, and that is critical race theory and intersectionality. You've heard those lately? And by the way, we might come back after this sometime in the near future to discuss this a bit more, because at the bottom of all of this is, well, let me say it this way, at the top of all this is not really racism at the end of the day. There's something bigger and larger underneath the so-called iceberg of all this. And perhaps at a later time we'll come back and address it. But as it pertains to their religion, at its foundation is this thing called critical race theory and intersectionality. And basically, it teaches that deliverance and salvation is needed from inherent racism and privilege, and that is only innate to who? White people. In other words, with every good news, there's bad news, and the bad news, the problem, so to speak, is white people. White people have the privilege. White people have the supremacy. White people have the power. You've heard this, right? Thus, in a real sense, once you free yourself from white people, then you are truly saved. That's their deliverance. Or, to put it another way, if you are white, bad luck. There's no salvation for you. White people cannot be objectively be reborn out of whiteness or privilege. You're lost. White people cannot be cleansed by the stain of whiteness. There's no impeccable substitute or method by which the stain of original sin of whiteness can be permanently cleansed. In other words, to sum up, Black Lives Matter provides no hope of eternal life, no grace of justification, no mercy of redemption, no power to change, not even the possibility to change. As one author puts it, the system of Black Lives Matter is one that places crushing guilt on individuals while featuring, ironically, a built-in ideology of partiality and prejudice, end quote. To put it simply, there is no redemption in the Black Lives Matter movement. There is no salvation in the Black Lives Matter movement, and because of that, I can't buy it. That's not the truth. In fact, that's another what? Gospel. If a gospel at all. Now we'll stop there. There's other things that we could say. They also mention that they are anti-capitalist and they demand reparations for past and continuing harms. But I think we've given you enough to see that Christians, again, my concern here is Christians. Christians probably should not even be uttering the words Black Lives Matter, lest someone think you are talking about this organization. Now, of course, we said Black Lives do matter. They absolutely do. But should Christians support Black Lives Matter to affirm that? Absolutely not. I mean, you say, well, can't we just join out of sympathy? Can't we just join out of compassion? Well, I don't think so. I think to do so would bring much confusion. And truth is at stake. John MacArthur, of course, is onto this, and he doesn't mince any words when he recently said, Black Lives Matter is an organization designed by Satan to use the suffering of some people as the means to destroy their lives, to destroy morality, conscience, the family, and even the church, and replace it with behavior that is immoral, perverse, abominable, soul-destroying, family-destroying, marriage-killing, and culturally disastrous. Bottom line, Black Lives Matter are Marxist, disruptive, rebellious, radical, anti-authority, anti-God, anti-scripture, anti-Christ. This is an organization that is the enemy of God. End quote. Now, all of this goes back to the question of why Christians are jumping on their support for Black Lives Matter. I mean, we understand non-Christians supporting them, right? We get that. We get unbelievers buying into Black Lives Matter, even if it's not wholesale. I mean, this is the course of the world at the moment, and all those who are spiritually dead will jump on the same bandwagon. Blind, following the blind. We get that. But Christians? It does beg the question, why do Christians, so-called Christians, show support for Black Lives Matter? We still need to wrestle with that. Well, if you go back to our text, Proverbs 23:23, right after buy the truth, what do you read? Solomon says, buy truth and then what? Do not sell it. You see that? Buy truth and do not seal it. Well, maybe that's the answer. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe Christians have sold the truth. Maybe they did it unwittingly, out of ignorance. They just have no idea how godless and wicked these people are. I mean, maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you never heard any of this. Perhaps you didn't know about Black Lives Matter. But now knowing, you will actually speak up and expose them. Maybe that's one explanation. But really, the meaning of the words here don't allow for ignorance. I mean, if you think about it, just as it takes time to search out and buy truth, selling it takes equal thought and action. You got that? Or to put it another way, selling the truth is equivalent to what? Suppressing the truth. Think about that. Selling the truth is the same thing as suppressing the truth. And if you want to know what selling the truth looks like, go read Romans 1. And then look out your window. We are living at the moment in Romans 1, aren't we? But it does beg the question again, why? Why would those who had the truth sell it? Well, we all know that the fear of man is strong. That could be a reason. We all know that the love of the world is strong. Maybe that's why they sell it. We all know that the love of pleasure is strong. And maybe that's why they sell it. We all know that the love of self-preservation and favoritism is strong, and so maybe that's why they sell it. And there's many temptations to sell it in order to earn a profit or favor. I mean, this isn't the first time we've seen it. In the Bible, there's Esau, there's Judas, there's Demas, just to name a few. And perhaps you know of others in your lifetime who have bought the truth and then just like that, they sold it. And you have to wonder why. I mean, was there ever a love of the truth? Was there ever any conviction of the truth? Did they ever really feel its power? Did they ever really know its price? I mean, how can you just up and sell the truth? Well, that's what many are asking today when they see what's going on in the contemporary evangelical church, especially when it comes to this Black Lives Matter and really all matters related to social justice, and we've talked about this. Listen, let me say this. With this one issue of Black Lives Matter, and so many Christians hopping on their bandwagon to one degree or another, can I say it has certainly revealed the state of the church today? I mean, it certainly has highlighted our need of revival and reformation. I mean, just for starters, this whole issue has revealed a serious lack of understanding of the gospel. I mean, to think you can change a fallen world through social justice is a serious failure, isn't it? I just jotted down this week a number of things that really all of this highlights. I thought, man, this, the fact that so many so-called Christians are jumping onto Black Lives Matter, this is really revealing. And I just jotted down a list of what it reveals. It reveals, one, the church doesn't know the truth about the church. It doesn't reveal that the church is to be salt in the community, in the world, or light in the world. It doesn't reveal that they're actually supposed to be a kingdom of priests, and priests were the resident teachers in Israel, and all of us collectively to be teachers. Malachi 2, the law of truth was on his lips. And speaking about the Levites, the priests. Church doesn't seem to know the truth about God and his justice. This has also been revealed. They want to take justice in their own hand. They don't understand that God is sovereign and that in the end, God will make all things right. Just have to sit and wait. It also revealed that the church doesn't know the truth about heaven and our glorious hope because we want to live for today. We're so earthbound. It's also revealed that the church doesn't know the truth about sin and the depravity of man, thinking that they can change man just through some kind of social action. It's also revealed that the church doesn't know the truth about Christ. They really don't know who he is and his work on the cross. It's also revealed that the church doesn't know the truth about the power of the Holy Spirit in regenerating fallen men, thinking that it's up to them. It's also revealed that the church doesn't know the truth about biblical interpretation and biblical preaching. It's also revealed that the church doesn't know the truth about disciplining the mind and living by faith and not by feelings. All this is driven more by emotion than truth. Now, more could be said, but just to sum up, the church really doesn't have a theology today, does it? That's why, by the way, going back to our text, notice what Solomon also says. He says, buy truth and do not sell it. But then he adds what? Buy also wisdom and instruction and understanding. What does that mean? Well, it means, listen carefully, that once you buy the truth, you need to further what? Invest in the truth. You need to train yourself in the truth. And that's why with the truth, what else are you to buy? You're to buy what? Wisdom. What's wisdom? That's the skill of knowing how to look at all of life through the lens of Scripture. And you're also to buy instruction, or you might have discipline or reproof in your translation. And that's the ability to sound the alarm when someone goes astray, to pull someone up when they fail or fall into error. And then you see there, you're also to buy understanding, which is really discernment. It's that art of knowing how to discriminate, how to draw a line in the sand and say that is wrong and that is right and that is truth and that is error and that is righteous and that is unrighteous. That's skill. So if these people are Christians, they bought the truth, but they haven't bought what comes with it. Wisdom, instruction, understanding. This is why David Wells, not too long ago, observed, quote, "The new evangelicalism is not driven by the same passion for truth as the older form. And that's why it is often empty of theological interest. We now have less biblical fidelity, less interest in the truth, less seriousness, less depth, and less capacity to speak the word of God to our own generation in a way that offers an alternative to what it already thinks," end quote. Actually, when you hear that, there shouldn't be any surprise that so many so-called Christians are supporting Black Lives Matter, right? They don't know any better. They're not thinking biblically. Let's put all this together as we wrap up. Go back to our original question. Actually, let me put it this way. Do Black Lives Matter? Do Black Lives Matter? Well, it depends on what you mean by that. Do Black people matter? Do Black babies matter? Do Black souls matter? Absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. But so does God's truth. So does God's laws. So does God's gospel. And the question for all of us is, are we buying that? Are we buying that? That's what you need to buy. That is the only thing you need to buy. Have you bought it? Biblical truth, God's truth, is the only thing that will save your soul from eternal punishment. The truth that he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf to become the righteousness of God. The truth that apart from God, apart from Christ and his work, no one can get saved. Are you buying that? Do you understand that? Listen, as Christians, the church should be leading on these issues instead of sheepishly following a movement hostile to the gospel. Right? This week I was rereading John MacArthur's book, The Truth War. It was written in 2007, but it should be read in 2020. The Truth War. Right at the beginning, there's a quote from Charles Spurgeon that captures really the spiritual battle we are all in at the moment. It's the same battle every generation has, by the way. And that is the need for the church to fight for truth. This is our hour. So let me close by reading it. This is Spurgeon. He says, "The Church of Christ is continually represented under the figure of an army, yet its captain is the Prince of Peace. Its object is the establishment of peace, and its soldiers are men of a peaceful disposition. The spirit of war is at the extremity opposite point to the spirit of the gospel. Yet, nevertheless, the church on earth has, and until the second advent, must be the church militant, the church armed, the church warring, the church conquering." And how is this? It is in the very order of things that so it must be. Truth could not be truth in this world if it were not a warring thing. And we should at once suspect that it were not true if error were friends with it. The spotless purity of truth must always be at war with the blackness of heresy and lies. End quote. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we could talk about these serious issues that are facing our culture, but facing us as Christians, and it's putting us in a place where we have to stand firm. Lord, we thank you that you have not left us without any weapons of warfare, that we can put on the belt of truth and the shield of faith and all the rest of the armor and take up the sword of the Spirit and apply it to this particular issue of Black Lives Matter and understand it. Or put in our hearts, put in all of our hearts that we buy the truth, that we buy only the truth and we stand for the truth. And if necessary, we fight and die for the truth. Just like our Savior. Just like the the long list, cloud of witnesses, so to say. Give us the courage, give us the boldness, so that Christ may be glorified in us. Amen.